Will you do me a favor? Follow me tonight in your Bible. We'll go a couple of places. I'm going to spend out, camp out most of my time in the book of Judges. And Judges chapter number 4. If you got your Bible, go to Judges chapter number 4. I love preaching. I enjoyed this morning service. It was a great morning. Thank God for all the graduates. I was so excited about the three highways and hedges young people that graduated, and this church, it surely was. This church has been with that. We've been doing that now since 2013. Can you believe that in August we're starting our 10th year? And they have actually made a difference. It's not the easiest thing, but I thank God for the difference that they have made, and it's been a blessing. And all the graduates, I was thinking, I was reminiscing this morning, and it was wonderful. Judges chapter number 4, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this to you. I do read my Bible, okay? Do you? And every once in a while, I'll run into something that says, boom, stops. Just absolutely grabs a hold of me. And I want you to know, this one tonight grabbed a hold of me. And I hope it grabs a hold of you. It's a wonderful story. I'll tell you, I've never preached from it. I mentioned it, but I sure never preached from this. And I'm going to give it a whirl tonight. I feel like preaching. I went out and had me a Medicare nap today, and I feel real good. Amen. My wife said you were snoring and the whole roof about to come off. Somebody say amen. But I am glad to be here tonight. Judges chapter number 4. The Bible says, and the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and reigned in Hazor. The captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Verse number 4, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebadoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent unto Barak. And I've heard it, Barak, Barak. And you just do what you want to with it. Amen. But I'll just call it Barak, okay? And she sent and called Barak, the son of Ammonoph, out of Kadesh Naphtaliah, and said unto him, had not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtaliah, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. Now notice this. This is awesome. And Barak, or Barak, or whatever you want to call him, said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then will I go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I'll surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Our Father, I asked you for extra unction to function tonight. Lord, I pray tonight this truth will grab every heart in this room. And Lord, that we'll go out of here more victorious, standing on the Word of God, having our lives enriched from the Word of God. We'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. This is a wonderful story, an unusual story, and I'll tell you why it's unusual. In these 24 chapters of the book of Judges, on most cases, the judges was both the judge and deliverer. Let me give you an example. In the case of Gideon, he was both judge and deliverer. In the case of Jephthah, both judge and deliverer. In the case of Samson, both judge and deliverer. But in this passage of Scripture, it stuck out at me. It grabbed me. The judge was one person. Chad and the deliverer was another person. And these two people, y'all stay with me, I'm going somewhere. And these two people were used of God together to do something great for the glory of God. Now here's what I want to preach tonight. I want to preach on the two that brought forth triumph. The two that brought forth triumph. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about family. Amen. By the way, how many of you agree with me there's an all-out attack on the family today? Hey, our country can't even define a family. I'm glad the Bible gives you a definition of a family. Amen. And there's an attack on the family. And you say, well, this message won't be for me because I'm not married. Hold it. And some of you could yoke up with somebody. Some of you young men could yoke up with another young man who loves God and challenge each other, and y'all can do some great things for the Lord. And we had some examples of that in our church. I was looking at Facebook with them boys that went down and had the party with your son. I just started reminiscing about them. You know, them boys have been together for a long time, and they got yoked up, and they got saved, got yoked up and challenged, and them boys have done something great for God. And some of you ladies are maybe single ladies. You know what? You can yoke up with somebody and do something great for God. Brothers, I'll tell you what, sometimes it takes two to triumph. Amen. We got a little group in the church. Susie's the president. Called the Golden Girls. How many's heard of them? They're an outfit. But I want to tell you what, those women, they go to shut-ins. They've been to my house, encouraged us during our sickness. And you know what? It don't take much just to get yoked together and do something for the glory of God. Now, I want you, stay with me. I want you to turn to one passage of Scripture. I'm coming back in a moment. I'm preaching on the family, but I'm coming back. Go with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Turn over with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Amen. I'm going somewhere tonight. You'll like it. Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. I love the Bible. It's inspired. It's inerrant. Right. Look what the Bible said. Two are better than one. Amen. Well, that's a good amen back there, Seth. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. By the way, you married couples, it takes two. And it's better than one. And you know what happens when you see victories in your life and accomplishments in your life? You get to celebrate together. Look at verse number 10. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. Not only do they celebrate together, but Brother Chad, they cheer each other up. I don't know about you, Brother Chad, your wife. I love her, and I love the pastor's wife here. I want you to know something. Every man needs a woman to be a cheerleader. And every woman needs a man to be a cheerleader. I tell you what I'm seeing in our homes. I'm seeing a lot of homes. All they do is fight and fuss and carry on. And instead of being for each other, they're against each other. Help me preach. We need to cheer each other on. We're in a battle. We're in a war. I'll talk more about that in a moment. We're facing the devil. We need to cheer each other on. Look at verse number 11. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Not only that, they're close to each other. They're close together. I'm going to say this. I'm going to be real straight. They ought not be anybody closer to you, sir, than your wife. And the, ma'am, they ought not be anybody closer to you than your husband. We need a closeness, and when we have a closeness, we can make a difference. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of homes that it seems like the couples are strangers. It ought not be that way. How many believe God didn't design it that way? Good preaching, Reverend. Look at verse number 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Not only do they celebrate together and cheer each other up and are close to each other, but they combat together. By the way, if you don't believe parenting is a conflict, just try it a while. Say amen. The homes are under continuous combat. But ladies and gentlemen, unless the two of you agree that you're going to let God take your life and use you, you'll get defeated in your marriage. You know, Paul had a lot of companions. You know, a lot of people are what I call loners. They think they can do it alone. We all need somebody. Paul had a couple called Aquila and Priscilla. How many's ever heard of them? Amen. They were tent makers by occupation. But they were soul winners. They loved Paul. They stood by Paul. They were a couple that could be counted on. You know what, this church? If we're going to have Jubilee, if we're going to be a strong church, it starts right in your home. It starts right where you're living. And we need a real revival in our homes. Somebody help me preach. I'm talking about the two that triumph. Let me give you four things and I'll let you go home. I'm going to tell the story. This is a great story. Number one, I want you to know, if you're going to triumph as a couple, as a young person, as a young man, young lady, you hear me, you must stand together. You got to stand together. Now, I did a little study. Their stand was a combined cohesive stand. It wasn't just Barak standing by himself. And it wasn't just Deborah standing by himself. That's what's wrong with most homes. We got one wanting to stand for God and the other not. And that gets tough. Am I preaching? We got, amen. Good preaching, Reverend. It wasn't Deborah against Barak. And it wasn't Barak against Deborah. They were combined and they were cohesion. You know what we need? We need couples in this church that say, hey, I done decided we're going to serve God together. I done decided that we're going to walk for God. I done decided God's first in my home. We're not going to let the devil defeat us. We're not going to let it end up in disaster. But we're going to stand together. Somebody help me pray. Oh, it's going to get gooder in a second. Also, by the way, they had a mutual enemy. Caesarea, he was a mutual enemy. He were both of our enemies. By the way, we all got a mutual enemy. His name's the devil. He hates every one of you. He hates the teenagers in this room. He hates the young marriage in this room. He hates the older couples in this room. He hates everybody. He's against everybody. He wants to destroy everybody. And why is it if we got a mutual enemy, why would we make enemies of one another? Amen. Amen. Not only were combined cohesively, but they were completely, complementarily stood together. Now, I want y'all to know this. How many's read this chapter before? Come on. When I first read this, I'll be honest with you, Chad. I thought Barak was a wimp. Hello, look at verse 8 and verse 9. Barak said unto her, if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go. When I first read that, Jeff, I looked at it wrong. No. They completed each other. They were complementary to each other. See, listen to me tonight. If you're going to fight the devil, you need somebody in there fighting with you that complements it. You. In verse 4, she was the judge. In verse 14, he was the deliverer. Now, I want you all to look at me. Both husband and wife, look at me. You both are important in the relationship. Amen. Let me say this. Men, tell me if I'm right. Here's how men think, Brother Jeff. We're analytical. Now, here's the problem. And we're cutting it out. Women's not like that, Chad. They're emotional. Sometimes we men act and we don't have, listen to me, we act and son, all we think is with our head ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain sometimes. Then that woman will come in there and put a little grace in it. But a woman by herself ain't real safe either because she sometimes gets too emotional. Somebody help me preach. I want you to know, I looked at my wife. Didn't she look pretty today? I want to tell all you, I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for that woman helping me and complimenting me and working in there with me. There's been some times that I've been wanting to, with my head, Chad, I know, here's how we are. I wanted to go take somebody out. Hello? I thought, well, that's the thing to do. Take them out. And my sweet, loving wife, who has more sense than I do most of the time, said, you can't act like that. You got to love on them. You got to have a heart. Aren't y'all glad to have spouses that want to be with you and want to help you? And want to, hey, somebody help me preach. That's good preaching even if I'm doing it. Number two, not only did they stand together, Chad, this is good. In verse number 3, look at it. And I'll read verse 14, 15, 16. Look at, go to 14, 15, 16, chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. And Deborah said unto Barak, up for this day, for this is the day in which the Lord had delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discovered Sisera and all his chariots and all of his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariot and after the host unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Somebody help me preach. And then we see Sisera was the only one that didn't get killed. He struggled off. They were strong together. You say, what were they strong about? Number one, listen to this. How many remembered in my reading how many chariots Caesarea had? He had 900 chariots. Chad, we're no match for the devil by ourselves. He had 900 chariots of iron. But they, them together, were stronger than the chariots. Let me give you a statement. Write this down in your notes somewhere. I want you to remember this. What was oppressing them separately was overcome collectively. Separately, they would have lost. But they stood together and were strong together, and they won. Do you not know that this society, the school system, the government, everything about it is anti-family and anti-children, and you've got to be strong in your home? You know what I see? There's too many of you that's not on the same page. Am I preaching? I want to tell you something. You hear me? The devil was sending all kinds of chariots. And here's what he's going to try to do, family. He's going to try to put a wedge in between you. That's what he does. His job is to put a wedge in between you so that you will not function collectively. I know folks tonight, they're married and miserable because they're living two separate lives without God and without the power of God and without the unction of God and without the guidance of God, and they're being defeated by the oppressors, and they need to stand up for God and be strong together. Amen. I saw this. I want to show y'all something else. Y'all stay with the story. I'm almost done, but this is starting to get good. Not only they were stronger than the chariots, but go down to verse 17. Follow me. They were strong for those who were checking them out. Hey, Chad. Now, I want you to look at me. You're our assistant pastor and a good one. But I want you to know, you're starting to grow in the church. They're going to be some people check you and Rachel out. Hey, Jeff, these people checking you and Kim out. Families, hey, folks are looking at us. Somebody help me preach. You say, well, what do you mean they checking me out? Somebody is checking you out to see if you're going to be a family for God, a man or woman for God, a young person for God. They're checking you out. You said, show me. I'm going to look at verse 17. I like this. Howbeit Caesarea fled away on his feet. I love this story coming up. Any real man with likes blood and guts is going to like what I'm about ready to get to. Fled on his feet to the tent of Jael. How many have ever preached about Jael? Chad, you ever preach on that? I love it. Look what the scripture, the wife of Heber and the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. Now listen to this. And Jael went out to meet Caesarea and said unto him, I love this. Turn in, my Lord, turn in and fear not. And when he had turned, now he was running for Barak. Somebody help me preach. Turn in. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle and said unto him, give me, I pray thee, a little water's drink, for I'm thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk. Milk will make you sleep. And gave him drink and covered his feet. Again he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, say, is there any man here? And thou shalt say, no. Y'all still with me? Then Jael, Heber's wife, I like this. She took a tent stake. How many's ever went camping? In a tent. That's the craziest thing. You people are crazy to do it, but that's all right. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the temple and took that nail. Look at it. Boy, this makes me feel good. Got him right there. He ain't looking. And put that nail right down into his temple and nailed him to the ground. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why would she do such a thing? Look at the next verse. Oh, Sean. Look at the next verse. Woo! Look at verse 22. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, come and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And whom he came into her tent. Behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Now you said, how in the world did she know that that was Barak's enemy, and she took care of the job? Because she done heard of their faith. Somebody help me preach. She done heard that they served God together. See, hey, they heard that he was a man of God. And they said, hey. She went and done the job because she looked at that family and said, I'm going to honor a God-fearing family. You know what we need? We need some God-fearing families that will stand together. Amen. And be strong together. I'm going to close in a moment. Let me give you two more things. Woo! Look at chapter 5, verse 1. What have I said so far? I say, they stood together, didn't I, Lois? And they were strong together. Boy, we need some families. You know, I wouldn't mind some of you family get up on the altar and say, you know what? We've been fighting each other. Why don't you get together tonight and say, we're going to serve God together? And not only did they stand and were strong, but look at verse 1. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Imadam, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Whew. I want you to know something. If you stand together as a family and you're strong together as a family, there'll be one day you'll be able to sing together as a family. You said, well, what were they singing about? They were singing about who gets the credit. Now I want to stop here. If it wasn't be for God, all of us would be out in the cold somewhere, Brother Ray. You said, God's blessed my home. I've got wonderful children. They're living for God. Then you ought to give him the credit because you're not much good by yourself without him. I tell you what we need to do. We need to get some families that'll worship again and praise God again and give God the credit. Hey, listen, to go through this world that's hostile, this world that hates us, and get the victory, we ought to give God the credit. How many writers? Come on now. How many have been married over 25 years, Roger? Had any problems? Any struggles? Huh? How many believe there's some times in your life you wouldn't have made it if it wasn't for God? Your home wouldn't have made it. You wouldn't financially made it. You wouldn't have made it. Hey, hallelujah! Not only did they sing about who gets the credit, Saying together about to combat it. Go over and read chapter 5, all of it. And they sang about the combat, the struggles and hardships. I tell you, raising a family today, how many believe it's not easy? I looked back and I saw Wayne Elkins come in today. And Cindy went with him, she's visiting with her daughter and had some tests in Columbus. Hey, Wayne. And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to every family. I know that your family's been battling cancer, heartache, and it's been tough for you. But I want to say something to you tonight. thank God that you and your wife have stuck together through all this pain. Somebody help me preach. You just don't know what's going to happen in life. Help me believe that. I look at Brother Paul. Paul, you had your heart attack. I've had problems. I thank God for a wife that stood by me and cared for me and watched over me. And, well, glory. You ought to thank God tonight for, hey, when the struggle's on, when the trouble's on, hey, there's two can triumph because they got a God that gets the credit. I'm done. I want to show you one more thing. Am I loud? This one almost made me squeal. Will you go to the New Testament? And I want to finish. Go to the book of Hebrews. Will you? Hebrews chapter number 11. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Somebody's clear. You're quick. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to go down to verse number 32. Let's go over the message one more time and I'll be done. What's that? This is an easy outline, Jeff. They stood together. They were what? Strong together. They were what? Sang together. But that's not all. Listen. They were saluted together. 3,000 years from right now back to then. 1,000 years when the Apostle Paul wrote this, he still saluted that them two people. You said, I didn't see that in the Bible. I thought you ought to. Look at verse 32. And when, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Now say it, church, and of what? And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, also and of Samuel, and the prophets. You say, well, Deborah wasn't there. Oh, yes, she was a prophetess. 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote this thing and saluted them. I want you to know, one of these days we're all going to be gone. Aren't we? And a lot of people don't like to use this term, Jeff, but I'm going to use it anyway. But whether you like this or not, you're leaving a legacy. Y'all hear me over there? You're leaving a legacy. And 3,000 years after it happened, we're still talking about them. We're talking about two people that made a difference. We're talking about two that triumphed. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what God wants out of your family? He wants victory. He doesn't want strife. He doesn't want fighting. He don't want bitterness. He don't want anger. He wants victory out of your life. And by the way, you do it right, one day you'll be remembered for how you done it. Amen. And then I'll finish. And then they'll be remembered and saluted for their commitment. Look at verse 33 and 34. Boy, I love this. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. They had a commitment together. I'm finished. I wonder how many young couples, how many couples maybe you've been married a while would come around this altar and say, I'm going to make a commitment. We're going to stand together. Amen. We're not going to fight each other all the time. We're going to get on the same page. Yes, and then we're going to be strong together. Yeah. And then when God gives the victory, we're going to sing together. Amen. And when it's all over, And God took us home. And we finished our journey. We'll be saluted together. You know, I believe me and Miss Marguerite's kind of a miracle. We've been pastoring the same church almost 44 years. In February, we'd be married 49 years. I'll be called to preach in 49 years. And in August, I'll be starting my 50th year in the ministry. And 45 years as your pastor. And you said, how you done it? Not by myself. I had somebody with me. Chad, we desperately, our families desperately need to get there. I know I'm preaching to people right now in this room. You're probably, y'all been fighting like dogs and cats. Been angry. Maybe you got some bitterness in you. You know what you need to do? You come around this altar. Hey, a lot of our families, hey, you got struggles right now that you're going through. You need God to help you. Yeah. Bow your head with me and stand. I'm not going to give no long invitation. I'm just inviting the families. If you're here tonight and God spoke to you, you want to be strong and you want to stand and you want God to help you, you ought to slip on out of here. There ought to be couples all over this house. There ought to be families, grandpas, grandmas. Just come up and say, hey, I'm going to make a commitment tonight. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for Deborah and Barak for their example. The two that triumphed. The two that helped give us a picture of what two folks could do, anchored with God. In Jesus' name, amen. You ought to be coming.